Welcome to the Carve a Monster Hunter podcast, where you can bone up on hunting monsters. Episode 98. I'm your host, SBJ.
And I'm Micah.
Whoa. That's so fast.
Sorry. I'm overzealous today.
You're on the ball.
I am. Quick like a... What was his name? Bonborough.
Not really that fast. Nargacuga. They're fast.
Fast like a Nargacuga.
That's the expression my mom always told me when I was growing up.
Yeah.
He said, "Stevie, you're fast like a Nargacuga." And I said, "I don't know what that is, Mom."
Then you grew up and then you knew.
Then I knew.
Because she didn't want you. She was trying to shelter you from the monsters.
Correct, yes. She didn't want me to become this hunter that I am today.
As any good mother should.
See, but if she just let me play Monster Hunter when I was little, when it didn't exist,
yeah,
I'd be a better hunter.
Sure. Also that.
We're here to talk about Monster Hunter. There was a bunch of stuff we did not talk about last week, so we will talk about that this week. We are almost episode 100, which is pretty great.
Almost there.
To celebrate our almost to level 100, episode 100, not level 100.
I mean, isn't technically level 100? Don't we hit HR 100 at that point?
I believe you prestige then, and then you start over again.
Yeah. Then, well, you break through to
the other side.
The next rank.
Oh.
We break through to master rank.
Got it.
Yeah.
Because Capcom knows we're getting to episode 100, they decided to put Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate on sale. That's not true. That's just a coincidence. But it's $29.99 in the eShop right now. 50% off.
It's pretty good. $30. It's a good game.
There's also a demo available if you have not played it. I feel like if you're still listening to a Monster Hunter podcast, you probably played it. That's a big assumption, though.
I mean, if you haven't, though, you know, get in there. It's good. It's a good game. And it's, if I mean, you're only getting it on Switch because that's all it's on. But it's portable, then.
It is portable. And then Monster Hunter World is still the demo / free to play. The first half of the game is still on PS4.
Time trial? Is that what they call it? Timed trial?
Oh, like in Mario Kart? And then when you're hunting, there's actually a ghost hunter running beside you?
No.
That'd be actually pretty...
That'd be good.
That'd be pretty okay.
Why don't we have ghost hunts where you can like see the top hunt
I would assume because the monster, it doesn't have a set pattern. It would have to be like a course, right? Like the course doesn't change in Mario Kart.
That's true.
Whereas like the monster ideally should do other stuff.
This is a good point.
Before we talk about Iceborne, because we're going to talk about what we did not talk about last week, even though we ran long, we still did not talk about everything in that 10-15-minute trailer. Dauntless, the very similar free-to-play Monster Hunter game that is very much compared to Monster Hunter, will arrive on PS4 and Xbox One and the Epic Game Store on May 21st.
The old Epic Game Store.
And Xbox One and PC people will be able to hunt together. They said they are still working with Sony for crossplay.
That seems to be a theme. Everybody always seems to be doing fine until Sony enters the crossplay picture. And then it's a problem.
Unless, I guess you're Fortnite, where you have so much money, you just put pressure.
I guess, yeah. Well, I mean, when people log into your game on their game on your platform, and then they get locked to your platform, I'm sure as a developer, they probably are pretty upset about it and ready to start throwing hands. I don't know. What's a Fortnite reference? Flossing.
Dancing wildly.
Yeah. Getting into a build battle with them.
I feel like we have to play and talk about Dauntless at least for one episode because it's always compared to, which is like, I always feel like not a good sign when people say like, oh, what's your game like? And then the response is, my game is like this game, but different. Like, that's not, I always think of like a game like Banjo-Tooie or Banjo-Kazooie. And you could say that, like, oh, it's like Mario 64, but, like, that game I feel like is good enough on its own where people don't start off saying that.
Yeah.
Because it has enough personality and enough different things where, like, somebody's like, what are you playing? And you're like, I'm playing Banjo-Kazooie. It's like Mario 64.
I usually, whenever I reference, like, Banjo or Spyro or something like that, my immediate response isn't to compare it to another game. It's usually to just say like, oh, it's like a classic 3D platformer, right? Like like a N64 era 3D platformer, because there were a lot of those games.
Yeah.
Yes. Mario and Spyro and Banjo and so on and so forth. So I think it's okay to say like it's a monster hunter, it's part of the monster hunting genre. Like, there are other games like that in this genre. Like, that's the genre is monster hunting. It just so happens to be that one of the, if not the pioneer of that franchise, is called Monster Hunter.
They really nailed down that SEO right there.
Yeah, they really did. Which actually, you know, I don't know how, if it's related or not. Maybe we've had this conversation in the past. Maybe we haven't. But I feel like it's okay to get this off my chest because I've, on several occasions, looked for Monster Hunter-related products on Amazon. Whether it be I'm looking for something specific or I'm looking to see like what products there are. And I always come across a book series called Monster Hunter that is in no way related to the Monster Hunter franchise by Capcom.
There's a podcast just called Monster Hunter, and it's in iTunes, and it's just like one of those books that you just brought up. Just like a book about monsters, but not
interesting
specifically. I mean,
it's like a fantasy novel, though. Like, it's like
one would hunt monsters.
Yeah, hunt those monsters, I guess. I don't know. It's like a fantasy series, I guess. That's what it seems to be. By Larry Correa. It says New York Times best-selling series. There's a lot of guns in these pictures though, so I don't think it's,
how else are you supposed to hunt monsters with a sword?
I guess, you
gotta use a gun or a gun blade.
Can I read a quick excerpt here?
Sure.
It says, number 4 in multiple New York Times bestseller Larry Correa's Monster Hunter series, when hunters from around the world gather in Las Vegas for a conference. Owen Pitt and the staff of Monster Hunter International have to stop an ancient god from turning Sin City into literal hell on earth. Monster Hunter International might be the premier Monster Hunter eradication company in the business, but they've got competition. A creature left over from World War II weapons experiment wakes up and goes on a rampage across the desert, and so on and so forth. Sounds like a real page turner.
I've already bought 4 copies.
I guess there's at least 4 of them. Oh, no, there's way more. There's a ton of these. There's Monster Hunter Memoirs. Like
Days of Our Lives, but in monster form.
Yeah. I wonder, this makes me wonder, reading that excerpt, though, this makes me wonder if, like, for the movie, if W.S. Anderson read these books
and doesn't
and
know.
Then saw the game and was like, oh, they must be the same franchise.
Oh, no.
So I'll just blend them together.
Well, speaking of blending, this is off PC Games. Monster Hunter World Iceborne will rival the size of the original game. We actually talked about this last week a little bit, but with the minimum requirements of the base game on Steam needing 30 gigs of free disk space, we can expect Iceborne, the first major expansion, to be a pretty big deal. We already know that it features its own complete story, picking up after the events of Monster Hunter World. In a brand new Arctic environment, as well as monsters to hunt, armor, and weapons to forge. No release date on the PC version. We didn't really actually talk about that last week. It is expected to drop in winter of 2019. Hot on the heels of the September 9th release for the console versions. And then it talks about the that you can play for free on PS4.
For the time trial.
For the time trial.
Yeah.
And they...
No free Iceborne for anybody.
And they... reminding their readers that there are DLC packs for like gestures and stickers, both on sure. PS4 and Steam, and I'm assuming Xbox One. They don't mention it here, but I'm sure Xbox One has DLC.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
So let's, I guess, because the article brought it up, we didn't talk about this last week, but I imagine on one side of the fence, PC players are used to this. But on the other side of the fence, probably pretty annoyed that still, after all this time, it is not day and day with console versions.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, I already saw some replies and stuff on Twitter that were like, please just bring it the same day. I mean, I'm sure as often as this happens, they would... probably get used to it. You would think maybe they'd be used to it at some point, but I think this, people are still just generally upset about it. And I guess to the outsider, like to someone who's not involved in development or any of the nitty-gritty of releasing or publishing or any of it, I'm sure it just looks like, well, why can't you just release it the same day for both all the platforms? Why not? But I think that part of that probably is that we don't see, because we're not involved in it, is staggering releases for the sake of making sure that everything goes smoothly and everything runs smoothly. And you could say, like, well, then why not release it just on PC first and then release it on console? But I mean, the primary player base has historically been on console, so I think it just doesn't make sense. Like, if they have to pick one or the other, they're probably going to pick console.
Also, that goes back to console stuff goes on store shelves, and there's still the power of being on a store shelf.
Correct. There's also still the power of people pre-ordering things at GameStop.
And working with GameStop, yeah. There's all didn't we talked about this before though? Wasn't there like an article or something where they also realized that people double dip? So if they were to release it on like the same day, so like impatient PC players will still buy the PS4/Xbox version to get their fix, but they're going to also buy the PC version as soon as possible to then get like their real fix.
Yeah.
And then if they were to do that on the same day, they're no longer double dipping. Not saying that's good for the consumer, but
sure, yeah.
Clearly works for them money wise.
Right. You know, I wish maybe at some point, this is a gripe that probably is going to just land on deaf ears and probably no one will care about, but I'd love to get to a point where, you know, like you could just register something that you have. Like if you buy a physical copy of something, just register it with some sort of service and then have access to a digital copy of it. It seems really like kind of a no-brainer, but for some reason we're still not there.
You're asking for a whole lot.
I guess, yeah.
I can put myself in the PC player's shoes of being frustrated at this. Like, something minor that just happened this week was there's a new Pokemon mobile game that suddenly got released in Australia only. As of this recording, it's been more than 24 hours. It's not in the US yet. It's not in the UK yet or anywhere else. But because it's an app and because it's specifically region locked, if you were to have like an Android device, it's very easy just to sideload that app onto your current device. So then you see, as somebody who's very into Pokemon, I think most of our listeners know that, you see other people on your timeline or your feed playing this game because they sideloaded it. And I get like a staggering release of, I mean, in this case, for Monster Hunter, they're probably like, well, let's make sure everything's good with the PS4 version. Let's make sure all hands are on deck for console versions before we move the team over to the PC version fully.
Yeah.
But it's just like frustrating because people are playing this game. And it's 2019, and a mobile game is restricted to, like, one specific area of the world. If you have a certain device and you know how to use Google, you can sideload this app and just start playing it, but it's frustrating.
We're the PC Monster Hunter players right now for that app.
It's not even a good game, Micah.
I do fully understand it, though. Like, I can fully understand from that perspective how much that probably sucks if you don't have a PS4 or an Xbox One and you only play games on your PC to have to sit through the launch of, well, I mean, in this case, a DLC, but we'll just call it a game because that's pretty much what it is. The launch of a game that you really want to play that you can still play the, like, core game for, but you can't play this new content for it until undetermined amount of time after. Like, from what it seems like, months after. Like, that has to suck. So, I wish that maybe there could be some kind of middle ground, maybe. But, who knows? I think it's, you know, I doubt at this point that they're going to say, okay, we're going to push up the release date of Iceborne on PC to match the worldwide release date.
To be fair,
who knows? Maybe they will.
They did release World pretty quickly after on PC, pretty quickly after console. I thought it was going to be much, much later in the year.
Yeah.
But they I think they moved it up a month because they were on track. So who knows?
Sure. Yeah.
We did the other thing we didn't talk about last week. Is we mentioned it, but we ran out of time. They showed, so during the PS4 Play Together event or whatever that's called.
State of Play.
It's a bad name. Yeah.
It's like a State of the Union address, but it's like, you know, the State of Play.
Oh, I got the reference.
Okay, all right.
Just checking. To mean it's not still bad.
You're right.
They showed the Monster Hunter trailer on both Twitch and, for whatever reason, Periscope. They had the 15-20 minute Monster Hunter thing where they had some of the Capcom team talk, show the trailer again, show more of gameplay stuff, and then they showed the trailer one last time as they signed off. The last time they showed that trailer, which has been similar up to the point, had a minor Easter egg. There was a roar of a monster during the closing of that trailer, which they've done before. That's how we knew Nargacuga was coming, because they've done monster roars during title screens. So Micah, what is, I know you have an ear for roars. I know you have a degree in roarology.
Yeah.
So what monster is this roar from?
Oh, definitely not. No degree here. I flunked out of roarology, and I flunked because I was cheating on my test by looking over at everybody else's test.
Okay.
So I looked over at somebody's test on Twitter. I don't remember who it was. I think maybe Kogath. And everybody seemed to be exclaiming that it was a Tigrex roar. That seemed to be the consensus. I mean, in my defense, I'm not trying to call anybody out here, but there were also other well-known hunters who said, "What was that roar?" and didn't seem to know what it was until somebody else said Tigrex, and then everyone went, "Oh, it's Tigrex." So I didn't feel as bad. I'm not very good with, like, audio cues.
I am super bad at that.
I'm definitely not versed in those audio cues.
Do you remember The Witness?
I do, yeah.
There's, multiple different islands and puzzles, and there's, like, one, like, part of the island that's, like, all audio stuff.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it. Like, I'm just so dumb when it comes to, like, well, at, like, pick up the rhythm, or, like, how many da-da-da-da-da, like, I just can't, my mind cannot wrap around that kind of stuff. I'm sure if I just sat in an empty room and, like, watched monsters roar and then slowly remove, I'm sure eventually I could learn that skill, but.
Yeah.
Props to all those people that, like, heard that roar and, like, were so in tune to Monster Hunter to be like, that is this monster from this game when it's doing this attack, but only when its left foot is broken.
Yeah, I've never really been super, super good. I mean, as many times as I've hunted all of the various monsters that I've hunted, I don't think I could even say, like, If you gave me, like, I'll say this. This is an even better example of all of the Pokemon that I've played throughout the many, many generations of playing Pokemon since I was a child. If you gave me one of the bit crushed noises from Gen 1 on the Game Boy that I've played hundreds of times, I still wouldn't be able to tell you whose it is. And that's probably way more, like, easy to differentiate than monster roars, I think. I'm just bad at it, okay? But yeah, apparently Tigrex. Everybody screamed about it after that too, once it did the rounds.
How do you feel about said Tigrex, sorry?
A classic. An icon, if you will.
An icon?
Yeah. I mean, Tigrex is a pretty iconic monster, I think. And, I mean, that's exciting. It's always cool to see, like, we saw two new monsters, and we saw one returning monster, and now we kind of have, like, another returning monster. So we're 2-2 right now, you know? Also, I'm really into this like style of reveal where they did the same thing with Nargacuga, where they did like the noise and the eyes and stuff when they did the first Iceborne teaser, and it had everybody go, "Oh my god, it's Nargacuga!"
It's a cool way to like reveal a monster without it's like they could just say this monster is coming on paper. And that's like really boring and kind of lackluster, but to put a roar into it.
Yeah.
Like that is a little more exciting, I think,
yeah.
And a little bit more creative. And then like, you know that the monster's coming, but you haven't seen it yet in its glorious, good looking parts. I know Tigrex is in 4 Ultimate, but that's a 3DS game, like, slightly upscaled for Switch version, so it's...
Right.
There's a huge difference between the way that game looks and the way World looks.
Sure. Yeah, and I think that's an exciting thing too, because it's we haven't really seen like a, I mean the monster models in World are so good that it'll be exciting to see our favorite winged Tyrannosaurus in all of his HD glory. It is a classic though. It's been around since Monster Hunter 2. The more they reveal returning monsters though, and the less those returning monsters are Gormagala, the more I'm concerned that I'm not gonna get Gormagala.
So your number one to return is Gore.
I mean, Gore is one of my favorites.
I mean, I already got Lava Sloth.
You did. Not even considering favorites. What do you feel? Let's do a real quick, just a brief, like.
Okay.
What do you expect now that it's confirmed that they're like bringing, not that anybody had any question that they were bringing old monsters back.
Old.
For snowy habitats, what do you seem like? What do you feel is like a reasonable?
See, this is like. I really like the Fated Four, but I feel like you just can't bring one of those.
Yeah.
You got to bring all four.
I mean, they got a lot of that in the 15th anniversary.
I mean, one of the Fated Four, I don't know, just happens to live in an icy, cold environment.
It's true.
Yeah, I think that would, I know you said one, but I don't think they can just bring one of the Fated Four, but if they were to bring the Fated Four, whew.
Yeah.
That would be real great.
But if one of the Fated Four, what, Gammoth?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the one that makes the most sense.
I think that would be good. Yeah, absolutely. I think maybe also, like, Ketsu would make sense, right?
Oh, yeah. No. Giganox. Get rid of Ketsu. Give me the Giganox.
But they can't all be, like, the big bad, right? You gotta have some of the, like, smaller bads.
I would say Giganox is, like, medium bad.
I mean, if we're putting, like, Giganox up against, like, just a standard Ketsu, I think there's, like, a gross factor with, like, don't get me wrong, Giganox is gross, for sure. But there's, like, an extra gross factor with Ketsu that's, like, more flesh to be.
Yeah. Well, like, I don't know, Giganox. So I fought a Giganox before I ever fought a Ketsu, because I played 3U first.
Yeah.
So that was my introduction to that slimy slug crawling on ceiling thing. I mean, of course, like, Zenogre would be cool too.
Sure.
I don't know if Zenogre really fits into a icy environment.
Well, I don't know that, like, T-Rex really does either, but.
Yeah.
But here we are.
I guess it doesn't really matter too much where a monster appears.
Sure.
I say that because we already know that that whole world is an ice. We already saw like a non-ice part of it where the hot springs probably lead to caves, probably lead to like colder parts, but still no snow.
Sure. And before I get attacked, you know, I'm aware that Tigrex can be in and has been in many, many snowy areas, but also, you know, I don't know. I guess when you say, like, give me a snowy area monster, Tigrex isn't the first one that comes to mind.
Right. They made a lot of weapon changes. I only want to talk about one weapon change today.
Okay.
Mostly because we need to save content for next week. Just being completely honest. The one weapon change I want to say that I want to talk about is the mods. So this is specific to light bow guns and just specifically gunners. So they added the clutch claw, which we kind of talked about. They added made the change where everyone's very upset about sword and shield. But the specific mod will allow hunters to automatically reload their weapons after doing two evades. Some are comparing it to Seregios's armor skill. In our Hunter Generation and Generation's Ultimate, At the lowest level, this particular custom mod will let you reload one round after two evades. Equip more of the mod, however, you can reload shells even faster at a time, allowing you to attack more aggressively. So overall, we've seen some weapon changes here. This one was specific to one of the weapons I like using, which is the light bow gun, which doesn't seem very popular.
Yeah.
Out of all the hunts and hours I've put in, I don't think I've ever seen another person use a light bow gun. My opinion, which doesn't hold a lot of weight, is that all the weapons are getting slightly changed. They just haven't shown them all off yet.
Sure. Yeah. I feel like that makes sense. I mean, why would you add so many cool things? I mean, they are all getting changed to some degree with the
crush claw. Slinger.
The ability to, use the slinger with the weapon drawn and stuff like that. I mean, as far as like deeper modifications, like, you know, the bow gun stuff, I'm sure that they'll probably add some stuff to everything.
Yeah. Well, I think they did say all weapons will have new combos, but I'm specifically talking in this case where there's like actual mods and skills. I wonder if for Sword and Shield they're gonna bring back the sauce that you wipe on your sword.
Oh, the old sauce.
Yeah. You either put Parmesan garlic on it, or you put Asian zing.
Yeah, turbo crust on the hilt.
And then it's
bourbon honey mustard on the blade.
The Caribbean jerk is super effective against Tigrex, but the sweet and sour is super effective against Anjanath.
Why isn't there a Buffalo Wild Wings Monster Hunter collab? I feel like that makes a lot of sense. I feel like we could write the marketing for that collaboration pretty easily.
Yeah. That's like, you go to Buffalo Wild Wings, you get your download code. What game
for your buffalo wing hammer?
Oh my gosh. What game had Buffalo Wild Wings? Titanfall. Titanfall 2.
Oh yeah, that's right. I
legit
remember that.
Buffalo Wild Wings crossover. Capcom. Look, I know there's probably not any Buffalo Wild Wings in Japan. I will say one of the first American restaurants I saw while I was in Japan was Hooters.
Also has wings, so DLC is still
wings.
Viable.
But this is money.
This is
what we need for Iceborne. If you want to make Sword and Shield Sword and Shield popular again,
we wouldn't even ask for any royalties on this.
No,
you know?
Maybe just like two free meals at BW3's, because boy, that place got real expensive.
Just a little bit. Apparently. There is a Buffalo Wild Wings in Osaka?
Oh, okay.
Nope, that's a Hooters.
Nope, yep.
When you search Buffalo Wild Wings near Osaka, you get Hooters, Sauce Boss, and Hard Rock Cafe are the top three.
Sauce Boss sounds pretty great.
Does sound good.
What do they call that, though? It's actually like poison. You can put poison on your sword and stuff. Can't remember what that was called.
You're catching me off guard here. There are oils that you can use in for Sword and Shield.
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking of?
Right, because they removed it for World and people were upset.
We'll call it sauce, though. It's the sauce. It's the sauce you put on the sword.
It looks like, it's oil. Affinity oil, stamina oil, destroyer oil, mind eye oil.
Chaos oil. It's sauce, though. Can say it whatever you want. It's still sauce.
So
that sword.
I wonder if they're bringing that back for Sword and Shield. I mean, I can see why they removed it.
Sword and Shield. Wait a second.
Like,
hold on.
Your beginner weapon.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
But now that this is an expansion, you bring it back.
Yeah, I could see that, maybe. I mean, it's a neat thing. Like, I played very, very little with oils or any of that, like, modification on Sword and Shield. But it's still a cool thing. I would definitely maybe be more interested in it, I guess.
Well, I think we will wrap it off there. And we will
wrap
be back
right off
next week with some more Monster Hunter World news, or Iceborne, or for Ultimate, whatever Monster Hunter news that exists will be there.
Yeah.
We'll
be there.
if you want to follow the podcast on Twitter, at Carve Podcast, you want to follow Micah on Twitter, at Micah the Brave, and then myself on Twitter, at Dragging a Lake. Otherwise, we will be back next week. I don't know what we're going to do for episode 100. I don't know. Have a party or something.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. But
some kind of party.
Anjanath party.
Yep.
So we will be back next week. Hunters, keep on hunting those monsters.
And keep on carving those monsters.